the first Christmas night, here in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Then it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The first Christmas night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love You. And Lord, I do come to You again now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that You fill me with Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, You use me here today. I pray, Lord, You do what You do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today, Lord. As we look in the Bible on the account of Jesus' birth here, Lord, give me Your words, give me Your direction, give me Your clarity of thoughts here tonight. And we'll give You the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, it's estimated that the average American will spend $1,000 on Christmas gifts this year. While it's also said that the average pet owner will spend a minimum of $50 per pet. 34% will buy for their dogs, 22% will buy for their cats, and get this, 19% of people will buy for their in-laws. More people buy for their pets than they do their in-laws. Christmas is a time of giving. And here's another statistic I thought you might like. It's estimated that Americans will spend $8.3 billion in unwanted gifts. You get that? Unwanted gifts, which explains the long lines after Christmas. So the question is, did any of you get that unwanted gift? Did any of you get that gift you just did not want? Well, if you did, I've got the top 8 responses for that unwanted gift. Here you go. You ready? Number 8. Well, well, well. Now there's a gift. Right. Number 7. No, really. I didn't know that there was a Chia Pet tie, and it comes in a clip-on. Number 6. You know, I always wanted one of these. Remind me again. What is it called? Number 5. You know what? I'm going to find a very special place for this one. Number 4. Boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that anymore, do you? All right. Number 3. And it's such an interesting color, too. All right, we're getting better here. Number 2. And you say that was the last one. I'm so glad you snagged that baby up when you did. All right, here you go. The number 1 response for that gift that you didn't like this year. Are you ready? You shouldn't have. No, really. You really shouldn't have. right? Christmas, eh? It's the time of giving, but we need to remember the real reason for the season, right? Jesus Christ is the reason that we have Christmas. But here's the thing with Christmas. Jesus is still not a baby in a manger. Joseph is not Jesus' father. He has no earthly father. Remember, if he had an earthly father, then he had human blood, which would make him a human, right? Jesus is more than a display that we decorate our yard with. He is God. Jesus is God, and when He came to this earth, He did not give up His deity. He did not give up who He is. He is God. He always was God. He was God in the manger that night. He was God in the womb of Mary. He was God in the years that He grew up. He's always been God, deity, God born in the flesh. Right? This does not mean that Mary was the mother of God, as some religions teach. Mary was just the vessel that God used to bring forth His Son into this world. Jesus is God. He took on flesh. He was born there in that first night of that very first Christmas there in Bethlehem. And so today, I want to give you some truth on the significance of that first Christmas night, that night Jesus was born. Number one, I want you to see that the night Jesus was born is significant because of why Jesus came. Why Jesus came. All right, you see in our text there in verse number 11 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, the very name of Jesus means Savior. He came to seek and to save the sinner. Right, praise the Lord, He did, because that was me, that is me, that was you, that was all mankind, sinners, separated from God, condemned to die and go to hell. And Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You see, Jesus was born into the world to save sinners. That is why He came. You got to understand, that is why He came. When Paul says there, "This is a faithful saying," he's saying this is true. Listen up. This is true. Jesus came to save sinners. You got to get it. Listen up. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." That is why Jesus came. He came because He's the only way. If there was some other way, God would have done it. But the only way was to send Jesus Christ to be born into this world so that He could redeem all mankind from their sin. There's no other way to get to heaven. Any other church, any other organization, any other preacher, any other person that teaches anything else is teaching a false gospel. Right? There are so many of those out in this world today. There's so many religions, false religions out there that are teaching a false gospel. They are leading people to hell day after day after day after day. In Galatians 1:8-9, get this, Galatians 1:8-9, the Bible says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." He says this, and get this, in verse 9, he says it again. He says, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." There's only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is it. Jesus came, He was born. But He wasn't born into this world to free the world of poverty, right? He didn't come into this world to give us a better way of life and to end all homelessness. He didn't come to heal all the sick. And He didn't come to provide you your next meal. Jesus did not come to make you rich, right? He did not come to fatten our wallets and to increase our bank accounts. That's not why He came to this earth. You got to get it. He came to this earth for one reason: sinners, sinners, sinners. That is why He was born, because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You see, we're condemned to die already. Right? And that's why He came. Because He came for sinners. He came to die for my sin, for your sin, and for the sins of the whole world. But in order for Him to die, He had to take on flesh. He had to become one of us. In order for Him to be the sin bearer, He had to take on the form of a man. He had to come and live just like you and I. He had to come and be tempted just like you and I. He had to come and be tempted in all points, yet He was without sin. He never faltered on the sin. You know, Matthew chapter 4, the devil came to Him after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and He was hungry, He was tired, and the devil came to Him in His weakest point, and He tempted Him three times, the Scripture gives us, three times, and three times Jesus gave Him Scripture. He gave Him the Word of God to defeat the devil. Hey, that's why Jesus came. He came to be the sin bearer. And on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, God's plan was put into play. God's plan was put into action. Isaiah spoke about it 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ in Isaiah 7:14. In Isaiah 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." You see, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. And Isaiah spoke on it 700 plus years before Jesus was born. Without the virgin birth, we do not have a Savior. You understand that? Without the virgin birth, Jesus is not the Savior. Without the virgin birth, we have no hope. To deny the virgin birth is to deny Jesus Christ. It is to deny God. The Savior was prophesied that He would be born of a virgin, completely apart from any part of a human father at all. If He had not been, He simply would have been another man. If Joseph was the father, He would simply have been another sinner. He would simply have sin blood in Him, man blood, sin blood. Therefore, He couldn't be God. Therefore, He could not die for the sins of mankind. Oh, but since He is God, since He is God, man of flesh in the flesh, since He is God, born of a virgin, He lived a sinless life, and He came to die for our sins. And when God looked down that night and He saw Jesus in that manger, when He saw that baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger that night, He didn't see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He seen past that. He saw past that. He saw God, the Savior, on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for you and me. He saw the One that would die in our place. He saw the One that would die for the sins of the whole world. And He is a propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, also for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world, for everybody. You see, God saw the fullness of time. It was time. It was His time. If you turn over to Galatians chapter 4. You say, why didn't He come earlier? Why didn't He come later? Because this was God's perfect time. This is God's perfect time. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come," in His time, in His perfect time, "but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You see, the birth of Jesus Christ was not by chance. It was planned. It was planned. God had planned it. It was His perfect timing according to God's perfect timing, not man's time. It wasn't one day too soon, and it wasn't one day too late. It was right on time. You know, God is right on time every time. Right, Brother Duffy? God is right on time every time. He's not late, and He's never early. He is right on time every time. You see, Jesus Christ came, and He had to live under the law to secure the perfect righteousness
for all of us.
Right? He came and he was sinless. He was the sinless Son of God. He obeyed the law perfectly. He was without sin. And that is what he did was what no other man could do. You and I could not do. We could not live under the law and not sin. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And when he did that, he secured the ideal righteousness, the perfect righteousness in Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's all in him. He did it all. He paid it all. If you turn back to Galatians chapter 3, turn back a page or so, and look there in Galatians chapter 3, in verse number 13. In Galatians 3:13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us. He bought us. He set us free. He purchased us. How did he do that? Being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became the curse for us when he went to the cross of Calvary and died on that cross, because he took all of our sin debt upon himself on that cross, and he died in our place. His death redeemed us. It set us free. It redeemed us. He purchased us with his shed blood. Oh, the night Jesus was born. The night Jesus was born, God's plan of redemption was put into motion. And that's why it is significant. It is significant because the Savior of all mankind was born that day. You see, if he wasn't born, he never could have went to the cross. So the significance is of who Jesus is and why Jesus came. He came to save those that are lost, and that's everybody. Let me give you a second thing here. The night Jesus was born is significant because of who Jesus is. So not only why Jesus came, but who Jesus is. All right? If you could flip over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And look there at verse 21. In Matthew chapter 1, it tells us who Jesus is. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ is God, manifest in human flesh. That word Emmanuel means just that. It means God with us. God with us. He came. God revealed himself to us in the form of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand, it's important we understand, that Jesus did not have his beginnings here in Matthew chapter 1. Right? Jesus did not have his beginnings with the virgin birth. Jesus Christ has always been in existence. He was never created. There was never a time where he was not. He has always been, and he always will be. And he is the creator of all things. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And if you read the rest of that chapter, you get down to 14, and the Bible tells us, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Right? When did God take on flesh and dwell among us? Through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that he was God. He had already existed. He existed well, way before the foundations of the world were ever put into play. Right? And if you turn over to the back of the book, over to 1 John chapter 1, if you turn over to 1 John chapter 1, not John, but 1 John, toward the back of the book, in 1 John chapter 1, Jesus is God. He took on flesh. He dwelt among man. But that wasn't his beginning. In 1 John chapter 1, look there at verses 1 and 2. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says right there, That which was from the beginning. You see, Jesus is from the beginning. Okay? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Right? John says, we've seen Jesus. Which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2, For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Talking about Jesus Christ here. Like Jesus Christ was with the Father. He was with the Father in heaven. But He was manifested unto us. How? Through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Referring to Jesus Christ here. He's always existed. He's from the beginning. You go back to the beginning of time for us is Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the account of creation. God created. God spoke the world into existence, right? We don't believe the evolution chart that they teach our kids in public schools of the ape man. No, we didn't evolve. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But we're talking about here in the beginning of time. In the beginning of time that we know it, Jesus already existed. He was foreordained. He was already there. Ephesians 1:4, now the Bible says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And again in 1 Peter 1:20, the Bible says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He's always existed. You got to understand, Jesus Christ was not created. Right? There are religions out there that teach that Jesus Christ was a created being. He is God. He has always been. He's never been created. There'll never be a time when Jesus will not be. There's never been a time where Jesus was not. He's always been. God had always planned this plan. Since before the foundation of the world, He had always planned this for Jesus to come and die for you and to die for me. You see, Jesus Christ is Savior. He is Emmanuel. He is God in the flesh. If our greatest need would have been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. Right? If our greatest need had been military, God would have sent a soldier. But you see, our greatest need was redemption. We needed to be a redeemed. We needed a way to bridge the gap to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to get back to God. And so God sent a Savior. He sent His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So how do I get that everlasting life? You receive the gift. What is the gift? The gift is 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. It's the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, Jesus paid it all. He died up there. He shed His blood. And it's through that shed blood that our sins are forgiven, that He can take us to heaven. Right? He can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. But God says it. We obey it. We trust Him. We believe Him. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No good thing about me can take me to heaven. You know, I used to think, you know, whenever I died, that God would tip out the scales, you know, and He'd start putting all my good works on the one side, and then on the other side there'd be some bad things I did. But you know what? I never murdered anybody, and I never robbed a bank, and I never did this. And I never. Surely God will let me into heaven, right? I'm a pretty good person, right? But no, none of that's in the Bible, right? None of that's in the Bible. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the only way is to send Jesus Christ. He is Savior. If you remember, back in John chapter 19, Jesus is on the cross. And it's recorded that Jesus, while He was on the cross, spoke seven sayings. All right, seven sayings on the cross. And in John chapter 19, in verse number 30, the last saying that is recorded of Jesus, Jesus says, it is finished. And then He bows His head and He gives up the ghost and He dies. But He says, it is finished. It is finished, right? The words, it is finished, are not Him quitting. They're not Him giving up. It's not a cry of defeat. It is a cry of victory. It is a cry of, Father, since before the foundation of the world, before You put it into play, You planned for me to come. Father, I have kept the faith. I have done everything. Here I am. I'm about to be brought up through death to You. And Lord, It is finished. The plan of redemption, the plan for a Savior, the plan for all mankind to bridge the gap, to get back to You. It is finished, is the cry from the cross. It is finished, is what Jesus said. Jesus said that. It is finished. God saw His own plan. His own plan fulfilled that night through the birth of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 13, verse 8, the Bible talks about, says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Talking about Jesus Christ. God saw the Lamb, Jesus Christ, slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we have a God that loves us so much that He reached out and sent His Son to die for us. It is finished. It is finished. If you could flip back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In verse 15. Luke chapter 2. In verse 15 there, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Hey, let's go see Jesus. Let's go see the Savior. Hey, the Lord has revealed it to us. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's make haste. Let's not mess around. Let's go see this miracle that's taken place in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was born. Hey, you realize there's never been another birth like the birth of Jesus Christ. There's never been another child born like Jesus Christ. And you know there never will be. Jesus is one. His atonement, His death, it only had to take place one time. One time, and it covers all people for all of eternity. He didn't have to go back and die again the week after, you know, or the month after, or the year after, or in 2024, or in 2025. He died one time for the sins of the whole world. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, God gave the very first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15 of the coming Messiah, of the coming Savior. Adam and Eve were in the garden in a perfect place, and God gave them one command: don't eat off of the fruit off of this one tree. Well, they did. They disobeyed God, and at that moment, sin had entered into the world. But God didn't leave them in sin. He didn't leave them in their sin, and He tells them in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You see, the very first promise of the Savior coming. And on that night that Jesus was born, God's plan was put into motion. God's plan was fulfilled. It was put into motion that night. Let me give you the third thing here tonight, the final thing here tonight. I want you to see not only who Jesus is and why He came, but I want you to see here, the night Jesus was born is significant because it means that Jesus is coming again. It means that Jesus is coming again in Revelation. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22, all the way to the last page of the book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, I want you to see here three times Jesus says He's coming. He's coming quickly. Okay, in Revelation chapter 22, in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Behold, I come quickly." In verse 12, He says, "And behold, I come quickly." Look at verse 20. He says, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." Quickly. You think He's coming quickly? He's coming quickly. He says, "Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. He is coming quickly. He is coming just like He says He will come. The first time He came as a baby in a manger. But the next time He's coming, He's going to be coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will rule and reign this earth that we stand on, this earth for 1,000 years on this earth. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Hey, look, global warming can't stop him. Climate change won't deter him. The wokeness that we live in and the evil in this world will not prevail. Jesus Christ is coming back. The devil has already been defeated. He's already been conquered. He's already been defeated. Jesus is coming again. The first time He came to take away the penalty of sin. But the next time He comes, He's taken the power of sin, the presence of sin. What's that going to look like? Flip over a couple pages to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, look there with me in verse number 11. In Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." Get this, "and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." We're talking about Jesus here, okay? In verse 12 he says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire." This is Jesus. "His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Who is that? That's Jesus Christ we're talking about. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." Hey, I believe this is all of us. All those that have been raptured up to heaven are going to come back with him to this earth. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written." Get it? It's right there. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming to rule. He's coming to wipe out evil. He's coming to wipe out sin. He's coming to wipe out unrighteousness. He is coming to this earth. Hey, he's coming. The first time he came to die, the second time, the next time he comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What am I saying? I'm saying Jesus is coming again. He is coming quickly. Are you ready? Are you ready for him to come back? Jesus came humbly the first time. He came as a baby in a manger. There were no bright lights. There was no newscasters there. There was no big announcement there that night. No one really even cared. He was born in a manger. The world rejected him, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for the sinner. He came for the harlot. He came for the homosexual. He came for the drunk. He came for the businessman. He came for the nice dear old grandma. He came for the dear old grandpa. He came for that one that has no time for him. The one that has no time for God, and the one that has no time for the real meaning of Christmas. He came for them too. He came for the brokenhearted. He came for the wealthy. He came for the poor. He came for the sinner. Jesus Christ came for you. Jesus Christ came for you. Why don't you give yourself to Jesus this Christmas? Why don't we all just give ourselves to Jesus this Christmas? Lord, here I am. Maybe you need to give yourself to Jesus for salvation. Maybe you need to know for sure you're going to heaven by putting your faith and trust, receiving that gift through Jesus Christ. You can do that here today. You can do that here tonight. But many of you already say, "Yeah, I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven." Why don't you give yourself to Jesus? What are you holding back? What are you holding back? Hey, Lord, here I am. Whatever it is you want me to do, whatever it is, I'm here. This next year, we're coming into a new year. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, here I am. I am going to do it. It doesn't matter the cost. Lord, I put myself on the altar for you. Here I am. Hey, get it. We're coming on a new year. This year could be our last year. The rapture could happen. We could even be raptured before the coming year. But this coming year could be our last year. How are we going to go out? Do we want to go out sitting on the sidelines? Do we want to get in the game? Do we want to play in the game? Be a participant? Do we want to be like Paul? Right? Finish the course. Finish the course strong. Keep our eyes up. Lord, here I am. What will Thou have me to do? You see, that first Christmas night, God put His plan into motion. His plan that He had foreordained before the world was even formed was put into motion that night. And He knew we would be here this evening. He knew that day that I would call on Him for salvation. He knew that day you would call on Him for salvation. He also knows those that won't call on Him for salvation. He also knows those of you here today on the internet that might be putting it off. You might say, oh, I know I am, but really, you know you're not. And the Holy Spirit's been dealing with your heart. And you've been putting it off and putting it off. Well, hey, Jesus is coming quickly. He comes, it's too late. It's too late. You got to do it now. You can't wait. The whole plan was put into the motion. Well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because Jesus paid it all on that cross. Just like a Christmas gift you open today. All you have to do is receive the gift. So, have you received the gift? And if not, will you receive the gift today? Let's pray.